It's good to have you on a little cloudy day, but the Lord made it, so we need to rejoice and be glad in it. Would you bow your heads? We're thankful that you came to be with us. We're glad for these brethren are with us. And I trust that you'll set your feet under the table. When I first got converted, I was pretty backward. And people would invite you. Now they'll take you out and buy you a hot dog or hamburger, but they used to invite you to their house. And we'd go, and they have a big dinner fix. I eat one plate, and they said, "Oh, preacher, help yourself some more." I said, "No, thank you. I'm full. You know what I did? I was lying. But after a while, I got over that. I wasn't going to leave hungry. So before they would ask me, "Help yourself," I said, "I am." That's the way I want you to do. Set your feet under his table. Enjoy yourself. See, we've been having a wonderful, wonderful service. The evangelist has been beside himself. His father has just been speaking to him. And he just gave it to us as the Lord gave it to him. Would you bow your heads? It's good to have Brother Stan Abshire back. You don't have to get up, Stan. You can just pray right where you're at. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Amen. 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 If this is your first time here, make yourself at home. If the Lord tells you to witness, witness. If he wants you to wave your hand, wave your hand. You know, I think it was our evangelist said that they used to wave their hankies. My wife's grandmother used to do that. But it wasn't in the hanky. It was right here. But that was her way of expressing herself. She'd wave that hanky. Let's sing, Tony.
Take your handbooks, turn to page number 202 if you need to. Shake hands with your neighbor if you want to.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can have, Paul said we can have victory. He said, thanks be to God for a victorious life, for the victory that he can give us. I praise the Lord for that. Now, we said on Wednesday, I think is when I began to mention it, that tonight we was taking up a love offering for the evangelist. He comes a long way. He didn't ask me. He just said he would come. But I feel that he's worthy of the offering that we're going to give him tonight. He's done a marvelous job, and I appreciate him. I appreciate him. Norman Taylor, that's an evangelist locally, he'll say, now that'll look good on your record. He said, that'll look good on your record. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When you mind the Lord, I think God's got it all recorded. I know he does. And I want the ushers to come as we take up this offering. I've got three bags here. Lord, you pray.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful day. We thank you for the blessing you give us today. We thank you for this week, Lord.
Let's stand once again. You get down your pockets a little easier. Turn to page number 30. Page number 30.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Sing it, church.
Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings eternal from his precious hand I've received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to have the Harbor Masters with us tonight, and I trust that you would just set your feet under the table. I don't know that we've had them here before. They might have. But old people forget, you know. Yeah. Say, well, preacher, you're not that. I am old. But I'm glad that he gave me another day. I'd like to have them come and just sing as the Lord would lay on their hearts, okay? Bless your hearts. They can introduce themselves and just make themselves at home. If you shout in your church, you ought to shout here. There's only one church, that's the church of the living God. Yeah, there's only one Father, we're all under him. Amen. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, sir.
Thank
you. Bless
you.
Thank you.
comes out with him. This is Jerry Jeffers. He is our tenor. And this fellow right here is John Paul Stevens. He's filling in for us as a bass singer, and we're really glad to have him.
Yeah, amen. If you can't tell, I don't know some of the words, but are you all glad to see Mr. Lee Long and Stone here tonight singing baritone and lead? Straight to the hospital. They kept me for
they don't even have a fear for God. They don't even believe in it. So that's what we do. We're out trying to spread that word. Spread that word. Not only in singing, but in talking. And in living. And try to go out and witness to the souls that are lost. And that's what we need to do as Christians. And of course, you know Jesus is coming back. And he said he's coming back for those that are looking for his fury. I look for him any time. I look for him any time. My dad, all the years, he was alive. He died in the year 2000. He was a Baptist preacher, and he told us throughout our lives, boys, you're not going to get into heaven on my subject. You're going to have to give your heart to God. You're going to have to accept Christ as your Savior. You're going to have to be born again. Now, isn't that the truth? I'm telling the truth. You must be born again.
Amen.
We go out and we try to spread that message wherever we go. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was laid in the tomb, and then 3 days later he raised from the dead.
Sure.
And right now he sits on the right hand of God,
Amen.
Making intercession for each one of us.
Thank God.
Yeah. And we're all done here. But we care.
Amen.
We care. We've got to reach out our hand to those who are lost.
Right.
Some of our own families don't even care. You know, young people, they just put, oh, Dad, get out of here with that stuff. Mom, you know what you that stuff. But we have got to be on constant prayer.
Sure.
Got to be on constant prayer.
Amen.
And we got to attack back the old devil. Because if he don't, he's going to steal our children. We've got to pray with it. My daddy used to say, you've got to put legs on your prayers, so you've got to get out there.
Right.
You have to do it. Ask people to come in. Propel them to come in. Because God is, he's going to judge each man when we die. After death, there's some judgment.
Amen.
And when we judge according to our works, whether it be good or bad.
Yep.
I hope to stand when I stand before God. Blood of started to shout, praise God. And they were just all over the place. And you know, people got saved that night. And that was so wonderful. That was so wonderful. I'll never forget that. What a wonderful time. Out there in the middle of nowhere, all right, if you ask me to go there now, I wouldn't get out of there. We had a good time. And I'm having a good time here tonight because the people are thanking the Lord. That's what makes a difference. God deserves all the praise that we can give. He gives His Son, the Lamb of God.
So all the old God held in. else have a testimony tonight? It's all the Lord's time. Hasn't the Lord been good to us?
Sure.
I tell you, if you like singing, if you've been here this week, you heard the best singing that you'll ever hear anywhere. And tonight's no exception. Wonderful singing, wonderful spirit in it. Beautiful songs. I thank God for the songs that we've heard. Thank God for the people that have came and sang to us. What a time that we've had. God's been good to us this week. God has really blessed us this week. And again, I'd like to say, we're thankful to have Pete and Penny Redden with us. They go to our church, and he volunteered to drive us down tonight. So I just sort of sat back and relaxed and rode on the way down here. We're certainly thankful to have them back with us again tonight. Our scripture tonight is found in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, if you'd like to read along with us. Chapter 10, if you'd like to read along with us tonight. In Hebrews chapter 10, begin reading at verse 32, shall we stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father and Almighty God, again as we come before thy throne of grace, to our Heavenly Father, we bow our unworthy heads before thee and give thee all the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. To our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful singing that we've heard tonight. We thank you for the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for salvation full and free in Jesus Christ, our precious Redeemer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessings upon each home, each family that's represented here tonight. But, oh God, thou knowest the needs of the hour. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, oh God, that those needs will be met in thee tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you hear and answer prayers. Our Heavenly Father, oh God, we ask now that thou would preach the message tonight. Take it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. We ask forgiveness for our sins, our failures, our weaknesses before thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name, and for his sake, these things we humbly ask, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, we want to look into the book of Hebrews for a few moments. We find that I believe the Apostle Paul doesn't really matter as he wrote here to these Hebrews, these Jewish people, beloved, that have trusted in Christ as their own personal Savior. We have done that so much that we really take it for granted, but we find that these people have turned their lives upside down. All of their lives, their forefathers, their families, had worshipped at the temple. They'd brought their sacrifices. They'd kept the holy days. They walked by the law here, and now they walk by faith, receiving Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And we find, beloved, that was resisted amongst the Jewish people. Beloved, the religious crowd, did you know that it was the religious crowd that persecuted Christ? Wasn't the ungodly bunch down the street somewhere? It was the religious crowd, beloved, that did not recognize Christ when he walked upon the face of the earth. And so it behooves us, beloved, to read the scripture and to study to show ourselves approved.
approved. Beloved, the word of God will illuminate us. I like that when I read that in there, in that scripture there. When you were illuminated, I thank God for the illumination that God gave us when he saved us. Beloved, he took us out of the darkness of this world. Beloved, out of the darkness of sin, out of the bondage of sin, beloved, and he illuminated us. The light of the world came within us, and beloved, we become the children of light. Beloved, that means that God has given you some knowledge. Beloved, John tells us in 1 John, he says that ye might know. Beloved, many times we think faith is a leap in the dark. Beloved, that's not God's way. Beloved, our leap of faith is based on the word of God. Through knowledge, beloved, through illumination, beloved, through understanding of the person and the word of God. Beloved, we ought to have confidence as the children of God. These that he was writing to, beloved, they had been tormented. And they had been tempted, they had been tried, and they had been tested. They were cast into prison. They'd lost their possessions. He said they've made you a gazing stock or a spectacle. Beloved, held you up to ridicule amongst the people. Beloved, would you and I have retained our confidence in God? Beloved, would we really be serving God if we were under those constraints today? Beloved, I think it won't be long. If the world stands, that America, beloved, will be hard to stand or make a stand for Christ according to the word of God. You might have some little religious sermonette or something, beloved, but the devil and his crowd that has taken control of our society, beloved, does not like the light of the word of God. Beloved, I remember when I was single, I was working up in D.C., I rented a room in a great old big house. It was an old house. And upstairs in a room that I'd rented, I can remember laying there and I'd hear something going, like, and I thought, what in the world is that? And I'd hear that at night. I'd raise up in my bed and I'd look around. That was so funny. I never heard something like that before. And I had a lamp close to my bed. And I thought, now I'm going to see what that thing is or what it is. And beloved, I heard that the skittering around on that linoleum floor. I reached out and flipped the light on real quick. Brother, there's cockroaches in there about that long. And those things are heading across the floor. Brother, they was heading for the darkness. Beloved, I'm glad, beloved, that I like the light, that I don't run from the light. Beloved, the devil's crowd likes the light. You know how they empty out the bars? They turn the lights on. Beloved, that empties out the bar. Beloved, I'm glad that God turned the light on. And brother, I've been rejoicing in the light of the word of God ever since. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. Beloved, I thank God for what he's given us. And beloved, it's real tonight. I want to tell you, it's real tonight, and it'll stay real, beloved. Regardless of what the devil does, it'll stay real. You ought to read some of the Fox's Martyrs, beloved. Would you sing the songs of Zion if they tied you to a post and set fire under your feet, beloved? Would you sing the songs of Zion, beloved? Would you sing Amazing Grace if the fires were reaching up and going to take your life? Brother, the word of God, the joy of the Lord, beloved, the light that he has given you, brother, will put a song on your lips. You'll say, I don't think I can do that. Brother, I believe that you can. I believe that's why the here in the book of Hebrews that they gave us chapter 11. The hall of heroes of faith, beloved. Ordinary men and ordinary women that were willing to be used of God, beloved. And the things that they performed under the power of God, beloved, simply because they just trusted God. Wasn't always easy. Wasn't always easy. But I can tell you today, they're resting in the presence of God. They're resting in the presence of God. Do you know that crowd that gave him such a hard time? You know that person that struck them as a beloved that started that far under the feet of a saint. Beloved, today down in the depths of hell, they wish that they'd never seen a match. They wish they'd never seen a fire. Beloved, they wish that they'd listen to the songs that they were singing and the word that they were preaching, that they might have been saved. Beloved, it might be popular in our land today to run with that crowd. People might pat you on the back and say, boy, you've given them old Christians a hard time. Brother, there's coming a day when you'll rue that. There's coming a day, beloved, when they'll say, I wish I could hear one more sermon. I wish I could hear one more invitation. I wish that I could hear the quartet singing one more time. If I could just do that, give anything that I had, if I had that opportunity. Beloved, today, as the children of God, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged, beloved, because it's worth it all. It's worth it all, beloved. We'll walk with God. Remember that Jesus said, I'll go with you even unto the end of the way. He wasn't talking when the times were good. Jesus didn't say, I'll be with you when things are going good. Brother, down through the valleys of this old world, and through the troubles and the trials of the flesh, beloved, and all the things that the devil can throw against us. Jesus said, I am there, beloved. How can we lose if God is with us? Now, it's good to be a child of God. Amen. I read a story. I've never forgot it. A pastor, I can't remember who had it in one of his sermons, but it was an illustration. And I thought, my, that's a good story. It's a true story. He said, I believe Dr. Foote, Gaston Foote or something like that. But he said he was a pastor of the First Methodist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He said, there's something that's been with me all of my life. He said, when I got out of the eighth grade, I told my dad, he said, I believe that I'm old enough to go to plow. He wanted to plow. He wanted, like his older brothers, he wanted to get in the field. He felt that he was growing up and that he could plow. And his father said, okay. And so he harnessed up an old mule, a gentle, very gentle mule. Beloved, hooked a plow behind it. He went out into the field and he plowed. And he plowed through the morning hours. And he said, in about noon, beloved, a little bit noon, said that sun had come up and it had gotten hot and he was in his bare feet, beloved. And he said the sand was so hot that it almost gave me blisters. But he said, I kept on plowing. And he said, about the middle of the afternoon, he said, I've gone just as far as I could go. Beloved, he said he took the reins of that old horse and tied it around his waist and just sort of hung on. And he said, I went as far as I could go. He said, I didn't think I could take another step. You know what his daddy did? His daddy came up to him, put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, son, he said, there's a lot of time, a lot of plow that you can do before sundown. He said, keep on plowing. Keep on plowing. He said, as a minister, he said, I can remember those times that times got hard, and I can remember when I wanted to quit. I can remember when I'd want to sit down. He said, I could feel the hand of my father upon my shoulder. And he said, go back to the plow. It's not sundown yet. Go back to the plow. It's not sundown yet. He said, every time that I get discouraged, I think about that. He said, I'd keep on going. Beloved, it's good to keep on going. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Beloved, you'll lose the blessing of the Lord. God knows what you're going through. Beloved, he'll not allow the devil to place anything more on you than you can stand. Beloved, God is with you. And if God's with us, beloved, we can't fail. We might feel like we're failures. We might feel like things are falling apart. But, beloved, God knows all about it.
Amen.
God knows all about it. We studied the book of Job not too long ago in our church. I'd never really studied it through. Preached out of, parts of it many times. Scriptures out of Job, wonderful scriptures found in the book of Job. But, beloved, it opened my eyes. the things that Job went through, the condition that his body got into, beloved, the things that happened to him personally in his life, the things that he'd lost, the friends that turned their backs upon him, beloved, you talking about a man that was standing alone. He was standing alone, sitting there in a trash dump, beloved, with his body covered with sores, beloved, from head to foot. He'd lost his children. He'd lost his wealth. He'd lost his home. His wife had turned her back upon him. His friends ridiculed him and mocked him, beloved. But God knew all about it. And all of this Job sinned not with his lips. Brother, I tell you, that takes some faith. Satan had made the accusation, if you'll just take the wealth and the blessings that you've been blessing Job with away from him, he'll curse you to your face. What a salvation was that, shallow? What a salvation didn't mean any more than that. But beloved, when everything was removed, old Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still blessed God, beloved. He wasn't happy, beloved. He didn't understand. But it was one thing that he knew. It was that God had allowed it in his life for some reason and some purpose, beloved. And beloved, he never sinned against God. Now, what a lesson that was. We had things that happen to us. We get disgruntled. We want to sit down. We want to run. And we want to hide somewhere.
Yeah.
Brother, let's keep on. Don't give the devil the victory in your life. You keep on. You keep on keeping on. My brother Pearly, dear old pastor, 90-some years old when the Lord called him home, preached for 60-some years. I remember he's holding a revival in our church, and he used this illustration. He said Columbus was sailing across the ocean, and he said they were almost out of food, and they were almost out of water, and his crew was saying, let's turn around, let's go back. And he said, Christopher Columbus said, no. He said, press on. He said, press on, beloved. And tonight, I want to encourage you to press on. I know our nation's on the wrong road. I know our state, beloved, is on the wrong road. I know we're not honoring God as we ought to honor God, but brother, keep on keeping on. God loves us. Bless serving. Let God use us, beloved. I'm still praying for revival in America. I know the signs of the times. I know what the Bible speaks about the falling away. I know those things, that the coming of the Lord is near. But beloved, if God gives us another 24 hours, let's praise God. And let's ask God to give us revival. Beloved, let's ask God to stir our nation. Ask God to turn our nation around. Brother, wouldn't it be good again that we would honor God in our nation today?
Amen.
That would be wonderful. God might give us another 50 years. I don't know. I don't know. But if we just sit down and throw our hands up and say, there's nothing I can do about it. That's not what God wants to hear. It's not what God wants to hear. And so we find, beloved, I like these scriptures down here. It says, and the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know what draw back really means? In the Greek, it means to take in sail. It's a nautical term. To take in sail. What happens when you're on a sailboat and you take in sail? The boat slows down, doesn't it? The boat slows down. Christians don't take in sail. Christians let sail out. And God's saying, let your sail out. If we take ourselves in, they call it reefing or something. I'm not a sailor, I don't know. But when you take all your sails and you roll them all up, the wind can't get to them, what's going to happen to your boat? You're at the mercy of the wind and the currents. And you're just going to float around until you run into something. And then it's going to be far worse than it would have been if you'd let some sails out so you can steer a course, beloved. And as the children of God, let's not draw back. Let's let some sail out. Let's pick up some speed, beloved. Let's serve God. And God will use us and God will bless us. I'm glad tonight that we serve a God, even in difficult times. I don't have to see around the corner. because I serve a God that's already been there. I serve a God that looked around that corner a long time ago. He knows what's around there. All that I've got to do is, if God says I want you to go this way, then I need to go that way, beloved, because He knows. He knows what's around the corner, and God is able, and beloved, the things that I don't think that He can use, brother, He can use them for His honor and for His glory.
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm a child of God tonight. I'm glad that I can enjoy the songs that these singers were singing, beloved. Why? Because they were singing about my home, and they were singing about my God, and they were singing about the shed blood of the Lamb of God that made it all possible. I'm glad tonight that I'm a child of God. Brother, if we don't come in church singing, there's something wrong with us. At least hum a little bit when you come through the doors of the house of God. Beloved, God has blessed us. God has watched over us. He's given us a desire to be in the house of God. He's given us health to be in the house of God. He's given us hearing and the ability to see, to come in and enjoy the good things of God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that? I like what old Moses did. Moses had every opportunity that people dream about today. What do people dream about? Winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Winning the lottery. Oh, if I could just win the lottery, my troubles would be over. If I could have $100 million, boy, I would just be there. I would have arrived. If I had all of that money, I would have everything that I could want. What did old Moses do? The Bible says choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Beloved, if you won every lottery from here until the day that you died, beloved, it would not do you any good. All they could do is stack it up beside your casket. It can go no further, beloved. Money is no good in eternity. But brother, the blood of the Lamb of God will see you through.
Amen.
You walk on streets that are made of gold. Walk on streets. That's paving material in heaven. And he goes on to say, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You think about what God has promised you.
Yes.
What God has promised you.
Yes.
Now we're going to step out of this life. Make no mistake about that. We're going to step out of this life one day. It's a good thing I don't want to live here forever. I don't want to hang around this old world forever. I don't want to die. I'm going to let God decide that. But I do know, as the gentleman said, it's appointed unto man wants to die. It's appointed unto man wants to die. I'm going to die. And there, some things become important. I've held many funerals in the last 30, 35 years. There's only one important question at a funeral. Did he know Christ as his own personal Savior? Could you tell me that? Did he know Christ as his own personal Savior? We don't ask how wealthy he was. Don't ask about how big his home was. How expensive an automobile that he rode around in. What kind of clothes he wore, where he took his vacations. The only thing that's relevant, the only thing that's important is their relationship with Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ. Nothing else is important. When we face eternity, we need to recognize Moses recognized the recompense of the reward, beloved. He might die as a slave. He might die as an outcast. But brother, he was going to step into the presence of God. He knew Christ as his own personal Savior.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? To know him and to really know him. Sometimes we don't really know him until we get down in a valley. Till something comes along. Well, the doctor calls us in and said, I want you to come in. I got to talk to you.
Yeah.
He said, I've got something to talk over with you. He looks you in the eye and gives you some very bad news. All of us will hear that one day.
Amen.
We're going to leave
this earth and the opportunity we have of serving God as a child of God. What a precious opportunity that is. You're in partnership with God. When God saved us, He called us. He left us here. And He has a will for my life, and He has a will for your life. And that will, beloved, touches someone that's lost. He wants to use us to see that the gospel is heard by somebody that's wandering out in sin. I wouldn't be here now if somebody hadn't prayed for me, if somebody wasn't concerned about me, beloved, if someone had not witnessed to me. I wouldn't be here tonight. I would be lost and undone and probably in the devil's hell by now. But I thank God that somebody cared.
Amen.
And that's all. That's what all God's saying.
Amen.
That's all that God's saying. God cares for you.
Amen.
He does care for us. Not willing that any should perish, but all that all should come unto repentance. God would like to see every person on the face of the earth get saved.
Right.
The shed blood of the Lamb of God is adequate for that. The shed blood could save every person right now on the face of the earth. And the blood would still be left over. God said, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God said, I don't have any joy in that. I don't take any pleasure in the ungodly dying. He said, I didn't create them for that. He created them in the image and after His likeness, just like He did you and I. God said, I'd rush mother that to come on home and live with me. I'd rather they come home and live with me. But so many wants the pleasure of sin for a season. Sometimes as Christians, we hold out on God. We take in sail. We quit growing in the things of the Lord. We quit maturing as a child of God. We reach a comfortable place in our Christian life. And we just sort of settle in and say, here's where I want to be. Let's take another step up. Let's take another step closer. Put out some sail. Pick up a little speed. Mind the Lord. Do what God would have us to do. I used to listen to Mays Jackson. I quote him quite a bit. He came up, held several revivals in my wife's home church. I just love to hear him preach. I just love his sermons. But he had used an illustration. I recognized it right off. How many of you here have ever heard of a doodle bug? I see some farmers around here. A doodle bug. On the farm, walking around, you see one of those dried cow chips or something. You turn that thing over, and underneath that cow chip, you'll probably find a little hole. Then go down in the ground about an inch or so. A little black bug down in that thing, in the bottom of that thing, about the size of a June bug. And you get down over that hole, and you start doodling. You get down there and say, doodle bug, come out, your house is on fire. You just keep repeating that. Doodle bug, come out, your house is on fire. You say that two or three times, that old bug will stick his head up out of the hole. You keep doodling, he'll climb plumb out of that hole. And he'll, while you're doodling, he'll get up, he'll walk around the outside of that hole. Just as contented as he can be. You quit doodling, he'll walk a little bit, then he'll stop. He'll do one of these numbers. He'll take a few more steps, and he'll stop, and he'll go. He didn't hear nothing. He'll turn around and go right back down in that hole. You doodle him again, climb right out of that hole again. You just doodle him all day. You start doodling, he'll come out. You quit doodling, he'll go back in. Mays Jackson said, that doodle bug is like a lot of our church members. Preacher has to doodle them to church. And when he quits doodling them, what do? They go back home. He has to go back, start doodling them again. to get them out of their house. The pastor has become a doodler for his church members. It ought not to be that way. The pastor needs to be knocking on doors of people that are unsaved, not on doors of people that are saved, that claim to love the Lord, that are members of the house of God, that don't show up until the preacher goes and doodles them. And he doodles them a little bit, and here they come. But as soon as he quits doodling, they disappear. Shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. If we say we love the Lord and we're not serving Him, there's something wrong. If we love the Lord and we're not willing to be in His house, and if we're not willing to study our Bible, if we're not willing to talk to God in prayer, if we don't have the joy of the Lord's salvation in our life, if we don't have a testimony in our heart, beloved, if God's not speaking to us, if He's not drawing us, beloved, there's something wrong between us and God. And we need to get that taken care of. When you get into the house of God, that's the place to do it. And when the church has a revival, every child of God, every member of the church ought to throw themselves into it and be like David, restore, oh God, to me the joy of the Lord's salvation. Many times we've lost that joy, and beloved, it's miserable when you come to the house of God and we really don't want to be there. You go home, you really don't want to be there. You're not satisfied on either end. Until you get right with God. Until you get right with God. That's what revivals are about. It's to put that joy back into serving God that you once felt. And you might not have to get up and testify every time you come into the house of God. But brother, in your heart, you ought to have a testimony. God's been good to me. God has blessed me. God's watched over me. God saved my children. God has given me a job. God's given me health. He's given me healing. God's been good to me.
Praise the Lord.
I ought at least thank Him. I ought at least thank Him.
Sure. Praise the Lord.
This is a wonderful time to do that. God, I just want to thank You. You've been so good to me. Look what You've promised me. I can tell you the lottery doesn't hold a candle. Plus the fact you have to buy the ticket. Or tickets. Bunches of them. Millions of, I don't know what the odds are, millions to one, some sort of a thing like some things are way out there. But what God's offering you, freely given to every person, every person that'll come to God. The glory of God and all the beauty of heaven for all of eternity, walking in the presence of God, my. How wonderful it'll be. But it can be wonderful here. We don't have to wait till we get there to shout. We don't have to wait to get there to rejoice. We can do that here in God's house, in this world, in this body, beloved. We can give God a praise, beloved. Lift His name up above every name that's named and bless His name. That's how I tell you. God wants to bless His children. Every one of you raised children. Every one of you raised children. You always wanted to do something good for your children, didn't you? Sometimes we do too many good things for them. But we always wanted to do good for them. Why? We wanted to see them smile, didn't we? We wanted to see them happy. We wanted to see them having a good time. God wants us to have a good time. He wants us to rejoice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And He wants us to feel safe and secure.
Yes.
When them little fellers get kind of scared, they run up to you, throw their hands up.
Yes.
What do? But as you grab them.
Amen.
Up off of that floor they come.
Amen.
And you hug them to yourself. And you say, it's all right.
Amen.
It's going to be all right.
Amen.
Don't you worry. They settle right down. That's what God does to us. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's run toward Him. I trust this week that you've been blessed. I trust this week that God spoke to your hearts. I trust that God has stirred up in you a desire to see great things of God. And every member of this church, every time that you come to a church service, the first and foremost prayer on your heart ought to be, God save a precious soul tonight. God, I want to see a precious soul saved tonight. Two or three be fine, but one tonight. And one the next night. You lift up this precious pastor's name in prayer. He steps into the pulpit Sunday morning. I hope some people have been on their knees. So, God, would you bless my pastor this morning? Would you bless my pastor this morning? I was trying to think of the name. What's the preacher's name that had the little boy that came to church? I can't. But anyhow, boy's about 14 years old. Saturday night. Every Saturday night. He said, Mom, I want you to take me down to the church. She'd drive him down to the church. He'd take his shoes off before he came in the house of God. See, he'd walk down the aisle, step up in the pulpit, put his hands on the pulpit. He'd say, oh God, bless my pastor tomorrow morning. Bless my pastor tomorrow morning. Give him a message that'll touch lives. Give him a message that'll save souls. Would you bless him, God? Strengthen him. Oh, God, would you encourage him? Would you use him for your glory? He'd pray at the pulpit and he'd walk over to the piano. He'd call the pianist's name. He'd put his hands on that piano. So bless our piano player tomorrow. God, would you bless her? Use her for your glory. When she plays this piano, may the power of God be in that. He'd go around, he'd pray for his Sunday school teachers. Done that every Saturday night. Mays Jackson, I believe, is his name. His son. Every Saturday night, just a teenager. But he'd take his shoes off and he'd walk through the church and he'd stop where the Sunday school teacher would be teaching. So, oh God, would you bless our Sunday school teacher tomorrow? Do that every Saturday night. A teenager. Well, I tell you, you start praying like that. You start praying like that. And your pastor won't be able to contain himself. Brother, he'll come full of the Spirit of God with a testimony, with a message that has the power of God in it. It'll stir your hearts. It'll lift you up. It'll bless you. You pray for him. You've got a wonderful pastor here. A wonderful pastor. And you've got a choir that knows no equal, far as I'm concerned. God's blessed this church mightily and immensely. I've heard singing this week every night that has lifted me up just about a foot off of my seat. Every night. Just like tonight. Heard some songs I never heard before. But they had the power of God in them. This may be the last physical night of the revival. But I trust it's not the last night of the revival. I trust that the fire that was lit here, you just fanned that thing. You fan her. If you'll fan her that far, it'll begin to burn higher and brighter. If you'll do that, this revival will continue to grow. And pray that God will send the increase. Pray that God will send the increase. Maybe everybody here tonight, you're saved. Say, Pastor, I am saved, and I'm satisfied with my salvation experience. I'm satisfied with my baptism. But right now, I'm not satisfied with where I am with the Lord. I'm following from afar off. I've lost some of that joy that I once had, that closeness that I once felt with the Lord. I've lost that. And I want to rededicate my life tonight and say, God, I want you to use me. I don't know what I can do. You make yourself available. God will take care of that. You just tell the preacher, say, I'm available. You don't have to say anything else. I'm available. He needs some prayer warriors. I heard a pastor that I was talking about a while ago said when he started preaching, he said he had there were family members, two of them. He said when I woke up into the pulpit and opened my Bible, he said they'd come down to the altar. He said while I was preaching, they'd be praying. He said, you know what they were doing? They were scotching for me. They were scotching for me. And you know what it is, scotch, when you're pushing something, you get tired and you throw a scotch under and keep her so you don't lose it. You get behind it and you start pushing it again. You get that thing moving a little bit, you kick that scotch under it. Keep it going. He said, they're scotching for me. He said, they'd pray and I'd preach. He said, that's how I started out. Thank God for you. Thank you for the wonderful welcome that you've given us this week, for the love that you've shown us. We've enjoyed every minute. Good seeing you folks again. Just been good to be here. Tonight, the last night of the service, as God speaks to your heart, this invitation is just for you. Whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, this invitation is for you. If you'll determine in your heart that I want to be what God wants me to be, and then I want to do what God wants me to do, you do that, God will take care of the rest of it. We ask our song leader to lead us in a song. Shall we stand?
Page number 51.
Shall we stand? God speaking to your heart tonight. This last night of the revival, God's calling you. God's speaking to you. Why don't you say, yes, Lord, I do want to move up a little closer. Lord, I do want to praise your name. God, I do want to accomplish your will in my life. I want to do that. Why don't you come tonight and say, yes, Lord. Just like I say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me, Lord. I'm here, Lord. Send me. Why don't you come? You mind God tonight? You mind God?
Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can turn him away, oh Jesus.
Is there someone tonight? Someone tonight, God's dealing with your heart. Why don't you come?
I would be without him, I could be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved.
Are you trying to bear your burden alone?
Life would
that burden gets
be
heavy.
But with Jesus, thank
He'll take
God,
that burden from your shoulder
I'm
and place
saved.
It on His tonight. Why don't you come? Don't be defeated.
Jesus,
don't get discouraged. Keep on keeping
oh,
on for the
Jesus,
Lord. Do what God would have you to do.
Do you
just,
know
you just mind God.
Him today?
And do what God would have you to
you
do.
Can turn
you'll
him
never regret it.
Away,
for all of eternity, you'll never regret it. If you'll just mind God, just
oh,
mind God.
Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
You're not hearing this kind of preaching too much in the pulpits of America. Oh, you say, preacher, membership is good.